The Bruins are in action tonight on the Sports Hub. Zolak and Bertrand are on the Star Market Sports Deck at Warrior Ice Arena on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We got Patriots tickets for you coming up at 1:30. Another pair to give away for Sunday night's matchup with the Kansas City Chiefs. We're giving away our second pair of tickets on this show coming up at 1:30. What?
How can this save your life or turn your life around?
Best album ever made, my friend.
It changed Matt McCarthy's life.
So, yeah, in what context did you listen to the album? It's like someone handed to you like on a pillow and say, here, listen to this with a candle burning.
How old were you when you discovered this?
You had a cape and you had a soda from 7-Eleven, a big boy, and you're just sitting there on a curb listening to this?
I was 8 years old. My dad played the song for me, and I don't know. I just got hooked.
Oh, just the song.
Born to, and then, of course, he gave me the album and everything. But yeah, Born to Run was the first.
So was your life going down a weird path at age 8?
Probably,
and then it
kind of veered that way. Yeah, I heard it, and I was like, that was
for most 8-year-olds. How do you either go left or right?
Yeah.
Is that a split in the road? And Born to Run was the guidance he needed at that time.
Yeah, just saved my life. What can I say?
That's one of the weirdest things I heard on the radio.
Changed your life when you were 8.
Oh, it was a great. I'm
life changing for an 8-year-old is like learning you can break Kit Kats apart.
Blown away.
Life changing.
That you could freeze a Kit Kat.
Oh, and that's life changing. Yeah,
you freeze a Snickers and that sucker breaks off.
I'm happy that you're willing to admit this, though.
Yeah.
That I give him all the credit.
Yeah. Blown away when I heard
the
song.
Wouldn't admit
blown away
like that. Wow, Born to Run, life changing moment for Matt McCarthy.
It instilled in him a sense of wanderlust that's taken him upwards of 20 miles away from his hometown and all of his travels.
The journey is listening to the music. He experiences the journey with the tracks.
What town were you born in?
Where was I? Where
Main Streets of
Weymouth.
Doesn't remember.
Weymouth.
Yeah, right.
Yeah.
Yes. 8 years old, I heard Born to Run. And look at me now.
All the way to Brighton.
All the way here in Brighton.
Made it far.
Without that song.
Running aboard.
Braintree. Maybe that's as far as I would have made it.
But I ran there.
Thanks, boss.
Start of the 1 o'clock hour here on Zolak and Bertrand. Can I quickly get to a story that's in the headlines today, and it's not related to anything we've talked about here today? Did you hear about this meltdown that Jimmy Butler had at Timberwolves practice yesterday?
I mentioned it in the headlines a couple of times. It's phenomenal.
He showed up late to practice, and then he subbed himself into a 5-on-5 scrimmage. And then
I'm going in,
and then lost his mind and started ranting about everybody and anything to do with the organization.
Right,
had a complete meltdown, trashing the Timberwolves, trashing Karl Anthony Towns in post game, post practice interview. He's losing his mind there.
Yep,
he's completely unglued,
unhinged. And Jim Louth, oddly quiet.
One of the best parts of the story.
It's me. I'm bringing it up.
Sorry, Jim.
Parts of the story. He went in with the bench guys. He subbed in with the bench unit and just schooled all the starters and was going right at Karl Anthony Towns every possession.
And he's right about what he said.
It'd be one thing if he were unhinged and came in and sucked and just started, you know.
That's that league,
over.
Though, man.
No,
that's that league.
No, you can not practice, not be there for weeks on end, show up, and just put on a clinic.
And it says here that, according to Yahoo's story on it, that some Wolves players, peripheral Wolves players, seem roughly divided on whether Butler's antics are lame or, as Deadspin writes, bitchin'. One veteran reportedly told Yahoo's Chris Haynes that Butler showed out. And Haynes described several Wolves as motivated by Butler's theatrics. Mm. Towns, on the other hand, was, quote, distraught and speechless. And his subsequent attempts at uniting the team around his leadership fell excruciatingly flat. Towns huddled the players up with a message centered on everyone keeping their emotions in check. League sources said, but according to some of the players, the message was empty.
Uh-huh.
So Butler is in there trying to sort of, I don't know, to control, be the bad guy, shoot his way. He doesn't want to be there. Wants to shoot his way out of town, and he's completely going to lose his mind and become unhinged if he has to stay there. Thibodeau and the Wolves haven't traded him. Doesn't seem like they have all that much interest in trading him, and maybe he's trying to give them some motivation to do it. I just want to say that I'm so thankful that Kyrie Irving has come out and said he is committed to Boston, because now the Celtics don't have to pursue a guy like this and deal with this and that drama. And like I said, what was that, 3 weeks ago?
But you know, you need
we're talent. Talking about this guy, and I'm like, hey, if Kyrie is looking to get up and go get this guy. Bring him here.
That's the problem, though.
And this is something that has been eliminated. It's just another plus to Kyrie sort of mapping out his future and telling you that he's committed to the Celtics.
But it's those type of guys, you know, the Boogie Cousins of the world that you have to consider bringing in, even if, you know, there's a loose screw or two up in the up inside that head, because that's what makes that league go. That's how talented those guys are. They can just show up and play. But you need that type of talent on your team. And if Kyrie wasn't going to be here, it's nice to continue to watch a product grow, but you need one, like, superstar that you got to go get, at least, if not three.
Well, all my reservations about
him, if you're in a rebuild,
were pretty much based on I didn't see a whole lot from him in the postseason.
And he's never won jack.
And he hasn't won anything.
He sucked when Rondo went down. Remember that series?
Yeah, he sort of quit on the series.
Rondo, like, the fact Rondo got hurt was out. And, like, he cashed it in, melted in.
I didn't think he was a total head case. It appears he's a total head case.
He might be just doing it just to get his way out of there. He might be doing it just to cause a scene. Don't rule that out. But it sounds like he went berserk.
Couldn't you accomplish the same thing by just continuing and not show up for practices? And
yeah, but then you're dealing with potential discipline for not being there, or fines or money, or you don't want to mess with your money. So just go there and be a complete lunatic.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Tell everyone to bleep themselves every time they talk to you. No. Screw you. You know? So every time.
I think part of it is, this is why I want out. I can just show up, roll with your bench unit, and school your starters because they don't care and they don't try. I think that's part of the reason he wants out.
Maybe it is.
Playing with young, petulant guys.
Yeah.
Does that reflect well on Jimmy Butler then?
A little bit. Part of it does. Part of it's crazy and part of it's good. Yeah.
In a weird backwards kind of way, it's because he's fed up with some of the kids there. He's fed up with the guys who don't really care. 617-779-0985. We'll get your calls on this, on the Red Sox, and on the Patriots as well, including Stephon Gilmore and his comments on this very show yesterday. Don't forget, Patriots tickets at 1:30.
Zone and Beetle, 98.5, the Sports Hub. This is the home of the Bruins. With the Bruins, Zoe and Bertrand are live at Warrior Ice Arena from the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5, the Sports Hub, and streaming on the Sports Hub app.
Nah, he's a good player. I mean, you know, you got to know where you're at on the field, so it's gonna be fun going against him.
Yeah, what's your reaction when you see other corners that do that, like Ramsey? And I know there's others in the league that sort of talk the trash before
it's
the
like
game
a part of the position.
Is even playing. I know that's not your style, so I'm curious to know what someone like you would think about that.
I mean, it's his personality, you know. It's not my style, but I feel like a lot of guys should talk is mostly zone guys, so they got a lot of energy to do that.
Mostly zone guys, he said?
Yeah.
Mostly zone guys, he said.
Bert Breer, yesterday with us here on Zolak and Bertrand, we were talking to Stephon Gilmore. Mostly zone guys, you said? Oh, Bert. That story took off yesterday. People picking it up everywhere.
Everywhere.
Everywhere. I don't see anything yet from Jalen Ramsey. Have you seen anything today, Hardy? On the
I have not. I had a tough week
on the Twitter's Twitter sphere.
A tough week.
I haven't seen anything yet, but that headline sort of blew up after this show yesterday, which I'm sure Bill Belichick loves. I'm sure he loves seeing that in a week like this.
You know, it's interesting. That's probably all the film they watch. So you watch a ton of the last week film. Of course, you study the last 4 weeks, but last week is your most important game. So they're watching Jacksonville. So Gilmore's probably watching film saying, wow, he does play zone. He played a ton of zone. Man his ass up. Let's go get him. That gives me confidence in Gilmore and swagger.
Yeah, I was going to say, to advance that, give you any insight on what they're planning for
this guy.
Weekend.
I mean, I don't know. I think he could match up on everybody, including Kelsey. I mean, he could take anybody, really. I mean, what, do you put him on Sammy Watkins all day? You know, I mean, you got other guys that you got to worry about too, because I mean, that exposes other guys if you elect to go man. And then the threat of, you know, the back and Mahomes with the legs. There's a lot of things you need to cover defensively in this game. Should be a good one, though. I mean, it has the makings of a shootout. Watch, it won't end up being it. It'll be like a 2017 game. Something along that sort. But
right.
Every time you think it's going to be a high scoring, you know, we'll take the over. It's going to set the record for over-under. Probably take the under in this one.
Something that Jim Louth, our producer, was just telling us about, and I just looked into it, the weather for the Broncos-Rams game happening on Sunday.
Yeah.
High of 31, probably going to be lower than that, probably going to be in the mid-20s. And a chance of snow, calling for 1 to 3 inches of snow.
That sounds like a fun environment.
Visiting Denver.
Oh.
Do you know what I love about that? And by the way,
find that the Rams are for real.
By the way, no, I like the Rams. I think they're a likable team.
Oh, I
to be honest with you.
But I'm saying, can they win in those conditions on the road?
Exactly. Put them in a real football game.
To find out.
Put them in somewhere other than L.A. or in a dome. Mm-hmm. Put Jared Goff and his coach and his receivers
little
and his running back, Todd Gurley.
Hair.
Hey, guys, why don't you go out and do it in the snow? Yeah, when it's cold outside. Why don't you go play one of those for us?
Yeah.
You know, play one of those cold weather
cities.
See how
fast Brandon is. Run that strike route. See Brandon on that strike route? He can fly. He's fast. He's fast.
He's fast.
Jared. Huh?
That's one to keep an eye on for Sunday, the weather in that game.
Yeah.
Leading up to Broncos and Rams, 5-0 Rams, Broncos 2-3 on the year. Weather for this game here in Foxborough, it's going to be probably the coldest game we've seen to this point of this football season for these Patriots.
Yeah.
Not a problem. These guys play in the cold, as does Kansas City.
As does Kansas City. So
not an
issue.
I think
that should have a bearing either way.
617-779-0985. We have another pair of Patriots tickets coming up at the end of this segment. Paulie's in the truck. Paulie.
Hey, good afternoon, boys.
Hi, Paul.
I am really worried about Mahomes, boy. I'll tell you that right now. This kid is the hottest thing in the NFL right now. And I said the magic number is going to be over 27 or 28 points. It's going to take about 30 points or better to beat this kid, I'd say. It's just not going to keep him off the ball. We're holding teams to 16 points a game, and he's scoring close to 40. So I'll come up with the median number. I'm going to say, you know, you're going to have to score high 20s, low 30s to beat this kid. So I support your contention that Springsteen's not going to write home about. He's a pop artist. He's pop. He's not rock. He's like pop rock.
He plays ballads to the people that need ballads is what he does.
Not heavy enough for me, baby. He's just not heavy enough for me.
Paulie McCarthy. You're really talking to Matt McCarthy on that one.
You know, like when Van Zandt goes off on his little sax solo.
Let Matt McCarthy know is the Southern Harmony and musical companion by none other than the Black Crowes, of course.
Everything comes back to Black Crowes with you. Outside of the Black Crowes, what's good for you?
I will put side two of the Southern Harmony and Black Crowes and the Southern Harmony and Musical Companion, side two up against any single album side that's ever been made.
Of course you would, but there's no point in that. You're just having two guys with their favorite acts or favorite artists going against one another.
Yeah.
So Bruce Springsteen, your favorite then,
yes.
Right? Okay. Springsteen is his favorite. Paulie's well established on the record. He loves the Black Crowes.
But side two of the Southern Harmony up against any other long playing record.
What are we doing here?
I don't know.
I want to know I want him to name like 10 different things that would be better than Springsteen. If you're going to put down Springsteen.
Right, don't do it with the Black Crowes.
Don't just come with what your favorite is.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to have a better argument. You know what? We'll give you time to prepare for that, Paulie.
Yeah, it's been 2 years
today.
Get
back to us on that.
2 years today since Glenn Fries died. Yeah, they're going back to some of those great Eagle tunes and albums.
I'd put
the Eagles
you
up against
Springsteen. You do that just to tweak him. You do that just to tweak him.
No, we're talking about rock bands.
And the
Eagles are not a rock band. They're not.
You want to talk about pop. You want to talk about pop. That's pop.
Springsteen's a rock band.
He's got a
Springsteen is a rock band. Look, it might be a little grandiose. It might be a little pretentious for you at times, even though he comes across as, you know, working man type of thing. But
it's blue collar, man.
Sometimes a little too melancholy.
Melancholy. How about snooze fest?
Aren't the Springsteen and Eagles, there are some similarities there. And, like, they're all about the common man while they charge you, like, $300 to go to the show.
Yeah, come see me on Broadway.
Right? Isn't that, like, a commonality? Right,
I'm going to go play Broadway.
It's a good show on Broadway, by the way.
That is one of the things
they
share.
Did you go see it?
I did.
How much did you pay for that ticket?
$75.
Oh, that's good.
Got the cheap seats.
So you got it. Incredible. Value.
900 seat theater. Oh, yeah. And I wasn't going to pay $800. I'm not that much.
So you just like went on what? Ticketmaster or whatever?
I was one of those lucky people who got the verified fan.
Yeah,
I got really lucky.
Wow.
Can't beat that. $75.
How much you pay to go to New York and stay in?
No, I got stayed with a friend.
But you got a trip.
New Year's Eve weekend, my friend.
The Springsteen
weekend?
Yeah, it was a good time.
That's pretty
good,
you McCarthy. Hit that right.
Oh, yeah, hit the jackpot on that one. Yeah.
See, I think that's an awesome thing that he did. And if you are a fan of a certain band, to see them do, from every review I heard of that show, the way he did that show, comprehensive, like, career-spanning thing, and doing justice to, you know, all facets of his career in a setting like that, that would be awesome. Not a lot of bands or artists can pull it off, but he can. I think it's awesome that he did it. I wouldn't go, but...
Jeez. And that band they put up in the corner.
I go see the Wiz. Kevin's in Rantham.
That's David Stories.
Hey, Kevin.
Hi, Kevin.
Well, first, talking about the Eagles, just recently, Glenn Frey's son replaced him on the tour, and he sounds just like Glenn Frey. Wow.
Isn't Vince Gill on the tour now, too, with them? Isn't Vince Gill with them?
I don't know, but the kid sounds like a young version of Glenn Frey, so it's kind of crazy. But I'm calling about David Price. You know, we could all agree that his issues are mental, right? So I kind of say this half jokingly, but I think the Red Sox should get Kevin Millar to show up in the clubhouse before Game 2 with a bottle of Jack Daniels just to take the edge off.
Yeah, and David Price is the type of guy to be like, oh, I don't know if I should do that. Well, I got to drive home later.
Yeah, tingly fingers. You know? Now my throat's all tingly and my throat burns. What am I going to do?
My mother-in-law will be mad when I get home tonight.
Astro might smell my breath. Oh, my God.
Might be one of those
I
deals.
Can't believe
you think
this.
The mother-in-law is still living there?
We're playing the Astros and my dog's an Astro. That's so confusing for me this week. I don't like my dog. I don't want to see my dog.
I don't like
Astro.
That just dawned on me last night.
Like Astro.
Well, because I was listening to Jones, probably.
Oh, wow.
And he's going like,
there's your first mistake.
Hearing him go off on David Price and Astro and the Astros.
Oh, yeah.
And it kind of clicked in my head. I'm like, oh, I wonder if he's going to be conflicted.
Probably conflicted. Scotty's in Lowell. Hey, go ahead, Scotty.
What's up, Joe?
Hey, Scotty.
Scotty.
What's going on, Joe? Listen, I think Eovaldi should be pitching Game 2 because he shows so much more emotion than Price does. Price should be pitching in Game 4. What do you think?
Right on. Right there with you.
Beautiful.
Agreed. That's my lineup. That's what my pitching rotation would have been.
Yeah.
It would have been Sale, Eovaldi, Porcello, Price.
Yeah.
I've laid out all my reasons, including Price being available out of the bullpen early, including Porcello being available in Game 1 out of the bullpen late. If
or like
needed.
Russo calls him Priscilla. Priscilla.
Priscilla. Priscilla. All right.
I pitch Priscilla.
Okay, very good. So it's going to be David in Game number 2. Okay.
Did you say David? Did you say David?
David. Oh, good. That's what I want to get. Thank you. Okay, Alex Cora with us here on MLB Network. Love that man. I love that man. Caller number 10, right now.
Everything is right here. You know,
he's the best. And he's he's one of the nicest guys you could ever meet.
Right. But like when he's on the air, it's like everything is right here. There's no going back into the recess of his mind. It's all right here. It's all on the tip of my tongue. It's all right here, right in front of me. Okay, thank you.
He's done it for so long. He could be so jaded. He could be such a jerk after all his success. He's none of those things.
He's best on Super Bowl.
It's something to strive for.
It's him in the media.
It really is. Yeah. It's something to strive for to be like Chris Mad Dog Russo.
And then there's Francesa, who barely gives you the time of day.
They're polar opposites.
Russo's taking it. How's your... It's so like your boy, Belichick.
Belichick. Polar opposites.
Belichick. Is he going to talk this week? Belichick.
Polar opposites right now. Caller 10 to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a pair of tickets to see the Patriots battle the Kansas City Chiefs this Sunday night at Gillette Stadium in Foxborough. We've got a pair of tickets right now, 617-931-0985. Caller 10 will win. It's the last chance for you to win tickets on this show. Felger and Maz will have a pair later today as well. So you don't want to miss your opportunity right now, 617-931-0985. I even messed it up.
You almost gave the wrong
one. I almost gave the wrong one. Make sure you call that contest line. Mm-hmm. 10th caller wins. We're right back from Warrior Ice Arena.
Sports Hub headlines.
We're at Warrior Ice Arena. Like Beatles just said, on a Bruins game day, they take on the Edmonton Oilers tonight.
Judd's Rotten Pop Beers. I have the call. Pregame 6:30. Puck drops just after 7 o'clock. Yaroslav Halak, first goalie off the ice at the morning skate. He will get the start in net tonight. Patriots will play the Chiefs Sunday night at Gillette Stadium. Jason McCourty going to have your hands full.
Not only that, they have so much movement. It's the guys that are moving. You know, sometimes you'll play against teams and guys will go on those ghost motions or speed motions, but you're just like, hey, like, we'll get them on the other side. And when it's Tariq Hill, when it's Sammy Watkins, when it's the guys they have that are moving all over the place, you have to make sure you're keeping your eyes where they're supposed to be.
For the second straight day yesterday, the Patriots had full attendance at practice. A couple of players limited, though, including Josh Gordon and Rob Gronkowski. Starting pitchers for the Red Sox and Astros, at least first couple of games, the ALCS announced. Chris Sale will go against Justin Verlander. David Price gets the start against Garrett Cole on Sunday. Headlines are brought to you by your local Nissan dealership. Choose Nissan today for great offers on their most exciting lineup ever. Shop ChooseNissan.com. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Get your headlines anytime on your Alexa voice-activated speaker or right here in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe, and the Beatle. 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Bertrand are overlooking the rink at the Warrior Ice Arena on the Star Market Sports Deck on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Umpires have been announced for the American League Championship Series. Red Sox and Yankees. So just
Yankees.
Astros start Saturday night at Fenway. That makes me think I probably said Red Sox Yankees at some other point today. Astros and Red Sox starts on Saturday night at Fenway. You know, the other day when I talked about umpires and bad ones in baseball, do you remember how I said C.B. Buckner and Angel Hernandez are my just top of the list? Hardcore baseball, you agree with those guys?
Yeah, they're the two worst in baseball.
All right. McCarthy and I share a brain on this. There's a lot of people, though, that want to throw in a third, and that's Joe West.
Well, Joe West kind of puts himself.
Well, my thing with Joe West is that I don't believe Joe West is a bad umpire. I believe he just inserts himself into the situations too much. He's one of the guys that
gets charge guy.
He gets upset with players too easily. He becomes part of the show, so to speak.
He's got ocular.
Yeah, a little bit, but worse, because he takes it out on players. He can get grumpy. Well, Joe West is your crew chief, which means he'll be working the plate in games 1 and 7 of this series. Mm. Joe West, your crew chief.
Are you referring to Country Joe West?
Yeah, of course.
Hey there, little Billy.
Country Joe.
Like, so how old are you, son? Said I'm 14.
Oh, wait. It's
been in a
wait a minute. I'm looking here, though, and it says that he will not be working the plate in game one.
They changed this a few years ago, and I don't know why they did. The crew chief used to get games 1 and 7 in the 7-game series. They get, like, game 3 or 4 now. It's weird.
Uh-huh.
He doesn't get the plate twice in the series.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's going to be... replay games. I'm looking at it now.
Wait, because doesn't one of them rotate into the replay booth? That's so what changed it.
So what they have here, I'm looking at the list. They have a total of 8 guys that will work the crew. And they have a rotation of, do I have that number right now? 7. It's 7. 7 guys. 7 guys on the crew, and they have a rotation of the 7th guy who does the replay. So West, I'm guessing, will only have 1 game behind the plate then.
Yes.
So he will start out as the second base umpire in this series, despite being... The crew chief, James Hoy, will be the umpire behind the plate for game 1. He will be the replay umpire for games 3 through 7. So you've got Hoy, Vic Carpazza, Joe West, Mark Carlson, Chris Guccione, who's been around a long time. He's one to keep an eye on.
Schilling didn't like him.
Yeah, Schilling did not like him. And Mark Wegner. And I feel like baseball has sort of become like another one of these sports. You're going to worry about who the umpires are.
Yeah.
Like what the history is.
More of an NBA.
Right? It used to be, and I think it's maybe.
Joey Crawford.
Yeah. We've started to look at it to see, you know, how it impacts NHL playoff games, the way guys call games, what it is they look for, what are the penalties that they're most, I guess, in the habit of calling. I feel like that has started a little bit with baseball, but that's what you got. Brian in the car wanted to talk bad umpires. What do you got, Brian?
Hey, you guys are forgetting about Mark Wegman.
He's gotten into a lot of things with players for no reason in the past. And what's his name? The broadcaster for the Chicago White Sox hates him. And then
is it
the other guy,
Mark Wagner.
Yeah, Mark Wagner. Yeah.
Okay, he's on this crew, by the way.
He's god awful. And then the other guy, I forget his name, but the guy that stared down David Ortiz a couple years ago at Yankee Stadium. I can't think of his name, but I remember the situation. It was Andrew Miller was pitching, and there was two calls that were really low, and Ortiz blew up about it. He got
is that when he hit the phone in the dugout, or is that
that was in Baltimore.
No, this he got thrown out of this game too, but he exploded. Hanley Ramirez was up after him, and he got called out on a low pitch, which Gary Sanchez basically pancaked in the ground. And then for, like, the entire time he was blowing up, the guy was just staring at him like a... I don't even want to swear, so...
Okay.
We have a dump button.
Yeah, I can't hang up on the caller. Our call screener broke.
Jim, please hang up. Thank you. Thanks for the call.
Thanks. Appreciate it. Yeah, just sort of a thing. We have more calls that I want to get to, too.
I know.
On the board.
But we can't.
Can you...
I was reading a couple of excerpts of... Joe West.
Yeah.
Excuse me, Cowboy Joe West.
Yeah, he's a great musical career as well. I'm not sure if you know that.
Right.
He's a country music artist now.
How old are you, Billy?
And
Billy's 14.
And his albums, one of them says it puts it right up there. Oh, I just lost it here. With Ron Artest as one of the worst sports-related albums ever made. Someone else said that he listened to the first excerpt from his album and balked at listening to the second or third, but he did anyway. And if he were in Nashville, he would give Joe the heave-ho. He said it's that bad.
I think he's one of the voices of our time, no?
Whoa. Did you almost say something there, Zoe?
Almost.
Okay.
Greg's in New Hampshire. Hi, Greg. Greg, you there?
Greg.
We'll try Todd and Weymouth. Todd.
How's it going, guys? Everyone just keeps talking up Patrick Mahomes. The first four or five games of the season, he played bottom 15 defenses. And then as soon as he goes up against a legit D in Jacksonville, he throws two picks. His QBR is like 62.1. I don't know if you guys watched the game, but I wasn't impressed with him when he was playing Jacksonville. Is that Blake Bortles turned the ball over four times. Picks. I don't know if he fumbled any times, but... What was the time of possession of that game?
I don't know, but your general point is that Mahomes is overrated. True or false? So
false. I mean, there's a reason he's got 14 touchdowns, two picks. It means you're playing well. Putting the ball in right spots. Thought his coming out party was in Pittsburgh. Watch that game. Played really well in that game. He had five touchdowns in the first half. Like, that doesn't happen with young guys like that in the second year. Look how long it took Brady to get to the level he's at. Look at Rodgers. Never got off to that start. Even Phillip Rivers, Breeze, you name it. There's a reason Mahomes is doing what he's doing, and I can't wait to call the game. He's going to be fun to watch. I like these young guys. I like them.
And the Patriots, back to last year, they dealt with a young quarterback in Deshaun Watson, right?
Yeah.
Early in his career.
He played well against him. It was sort of a coming out party before he got hurt.
Yeah, and so I look at that, and I say, you know, as much as Belichick has had a good track record against young quarterbacks, they've had some really good ones. I mean, Deshaun Watson was great last year before he got hurt. Hasn't really returned to that yet, but he was good last year.
Yeah.
Patrick Mahomes, I expect him to be good on Sunday
night. See how much force him to his left. I think that's the key in this game. Get him moving left. But he can throw off different levels, meaning his feet don't have to be set. Arm slot, all that stuff goes out the window with him. He's that good.
All right, let's get to today's takeaways from Warrior Ice Arena coming up next.
Zolak, and Bertrand. Middays on 98.5. Sports Hub. They give.
Give it to me. Give it to me. Give it to me now, damn it.
Tell me I'm wrong. I don't know how you could.
And they give.
We need to break news every day.
And they give.
I love breaking news.
Can't get this kind of analysis just anywhere.
And now, it's time to take.
That's not a hot take.
End of the day.
Hot takes from the day.
Today's takeaways with Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
All right, time for today's takeaways, brought to you by Awaken 180 Weight Loss. Take away your excess weight for life, the official weight loss program of the Boston Red Sox, who play game one this Saturday. First game of the ALCS. Time for today's takeaways. I'll go first. One of my favorite Patriot reporters. I like him because he's a freak, and I think he's good at what he does. William Benditson called the show today.
I'm not even convinced it's him.
Patriots Maven, Patriots.
Who
Patriots
would pretend
pulpit.
To
this
be
is William Benditson.
I don't know.
Nobody would pretend to be
know.
William Benditson.
Right.
It was very descriptive in the way that he talks. Here he is calling the show today. William Benditson. They
give. William is in Boston. He had a Patriots thought today. Hi, William.
Good to be on with you guys. This is William Benditson, my great friend, Scott Zolak.
This is not William Benditson. It's from Patriots Pulpit, Patriots Review.
Maven.
Yeah,
Maven.
Patriots Maven. We got the best Patriots coverage in the business.
And, it's Benditson.
Is it? Yes.
No, this is the William Benditson, the distinguished.
Hey, I give you credit. Your questions lately in these press conferences have been very good to Coach Belichick. Very good.
So how would you grade them on the scale? A, B plus?
I'd say D? B. I'd say B.
B level?
Yeah, I'd say there were some certain ones in recent weeks that were A plus.
Yeah, oh, God, yeah. But he said in general.
Oh, in general, overall, yeah, B plus for the season.
We watch your videos all the time on Facebook. Love them.
Love the coverage. I just love Scott Zolak. What can I say? I mean, there's no better show of the fifth quarter than Scott and Steve.
He's trying
I want to ask you, though, do you think the fans are getting a little, or the fans, or maybe us in the media, not me, getting a little carried away with the RPO talk this week? It's not a new concept.
Look at it. That's a good, take there, Benditson. Now, how I even know that's even Benditson even more, the only time that I ever see him is really in fifth quarter, and he always comes up to where Steve and I are doing the show, up in the back of the conference room there.
All right.
And he's begging for airtime, and he just had some airtime there, and he thinks we should have him on our show a little bit more.
Not sure that it's a bad idea if he just wants to call in from time to time.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah, it could be good.
And I just love his videos because he does the FaceTime videos where he puts the phone right here and he screams at his phone. All right, now it's William Benditson, the Patriots Pulpit, Patriots Maven, the best coverage around in Boston. Yeah, that's just gets right to it. That's
lo-fi.
It. Sets it.
Lo-fi.
Yeah. It's a lo-fi report.
The favorite one, though, is it? I'm here at the rainy Gillette Stadium where the Patriots could take the field right behind me at 8:20 kickoff tonight.
This is William Benditson.
Hey,
Zoe loves him.
I love him.
Absolutely loves
him. He's a freak. I love him.
Zoe's like obsessed with him.
I study him. I sit there. I can just watch him move. I watch him at practice. You know, he just kind of lurks. He's like he's got that lurk ability about him.
You think he's got the ear of the coaches in the front office?
I don't think so.
I don't think anybody does.
Okay. My takeaway today, basically, I think it's just a compilation of us talking about the temperature inside Warrior Ice Arena, where we've been all day. This is going to be a thing, right?
Yeah, we're going to continue to come here, which means layering up from now on.
Next week there will be hats, there will be mittens.
Think that, hey, in the Bruins Pro Shop, with the new styles and stuff, that they would like to get them out there.
Oh.
Any exterior wear? Any headgear? Any hand?
You know, I
want free Bruins stuff. I don't care.
You know, I
Bruin me up.
I paid full price for a Marchand jersey for my daughter on Monday. She because we were at the game.
Get discount. Does she know people?
Not probably, but she just wanted one. It was an organic thing. She really wanted a real sweater. She wanted a real jersey. I'm like, you know what? We'll go down to the first intermission, and we'll go down and find you one. We found her size and got her one. So I feel like I'm due. I feel like I'm due a hat at the least.
Yeah, a little something. A little customer loyalty.
Great jersey. And she wanted a Marchand, too. I'm like, that's right, you do. Yeah, we'll get you that. But here in the Warrior Ice Arena, chilly. Chilly, as you will hear.
Yeah.
0985. What?
My face is cold.
Yeah, it's cold in here.
It's freezing in here in Warrior Ice Arena. Boy, maybe they should go and call my good friends at New Pro.
You know, we were warned ahead of time, too. And we thought, you know, okay, I'll wear like a pullover.
Yeah,
I'll
wear a hoodie.
Wear something warm, a warm shirt. Nah, forget it. Bring the jacket next time.
Time and temperature, minus 10 degrees inside the Warrior Ice Arena, but 64 degrees outside in Brighton.
We've been going out in the hallway during breaks to warm up.
Oh.
Should have seen us in the hallway like we're sitting over a warm fire. Like,
there's a door.
It's nice.
There's a doorway over there, an outside warm area. What do they call that? Lobby. And Chauncey's standing there.
Lobby, there it is, knocking, right on the tip of your tongue.
Knock on the door. How much time left to do it back?
I was trying to spoon with McCarthy for warmth, but he's too tall.
Tall guy on a tall chair.
Parts don't go where they're supposed to.
Doesn't
try to spoon
well.
With somebody with a with that
when you're way down
such
here.
A height differential.
Right.
Yeah,
very
right.
cuddly though.
Today we had a couple of great guests on. We had Jake DeBrusque, who's a great interview. Gonna get him on again.
Yes,
and Tori Krug as well, who joined us. But during DeBrusque's interview, Mark in Medford, who calls us all the time, big Bruins fan. I said, let's put Mark in Medford on the line with Jake DeBrusque. Yeah. Quickly, before we let you go, you want to talk to a fan? This guy calls us every single day.
Oh, sure.
Who is it? It's Mark in Medford. Just a Bruins diet.
Oh, my God.
Might as well.
Right? Yeah. He's got something here about the Bruins. Hey, Mark in Medford, say hi to Jake DeBrusque.
Go ahead.
Hey, Jake. How's it going, buddy?
It's going good. How are you?
Sorry. I actually have a couple of Bruins comments and a Red Sox comment, guys. Jake, are you concerned this year?
That's what we do.
I mean, right now it seems like the Bruins, all the scoring is being done on the first line. Do you think maybe Coach Cassidy might try and balance it out a little bit, maybe put David on the second line with Krejci, and you see Halak get more starts here ahead of Tuukka Rask? You think maybe he's trying to nip this goaltending issue in the bud sooner than later? And also on the Red Sox.
Hold on. Jake's going to answer the Red Sox question.
Jake, we're going to make you answer the Red Sox question.
You're doing it all.
Obviously, three games, huge sample size. What are you going to do to get some scoring going on some of these other lines?
Yeah, well, I think personally, I got to bring more. I think that hit it right on the head there. I think,
good.
Like you said,
it's Mark's personal responsibility.
Yeah,
good.
Well, it's true.
And Jake DeBrusque took that all in stride.
So DeBrusque was really good today. Krug really good today. I mean, we like Tori. He's been on the show a lot. But maybe being like in the, you know, the more friendly confines of the Warrior Arena put him a little more at ease. But I thought both guys were great.
And I guess check show Twitter, at Zolak and Bertrand.
Yeah, check out that video.
So taking a header. I was not taking a header. We were playing with a little golf ball, and the golf ball almost went on the ice. And I was like Nicolas Cage in The Rock. When you had the,
Felger and Mass coming up next. We'll talk to you tomorrow on a Friday. A lot of football tomorrow. Bye.
20 over. They won almost. Excuse me. They won almost every game he pitched this year. Sorry, I had to cough.